Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, we're going to tell you about the ex-WWE star whose AEW debut was cancelled.
A top New Japan faction invades AEW Dynamite.
A rising NXT star has suffered a torn MCL.
And Tony Khan sheds new light on AEW's relationship with Warner Bros. Discovery. I'm Adam Wilborn.
What the hell was that?
This is the news.
All right, we're going to kick things off by talking about the former WWE wrestler who may have been lined up for an AEW debut at one point in the not-so-distant past. I mean, this month. Why have I phrased it that way? It was like 3 weeks ago. But it didn't end up happening. That man is Karrion Kross, Killer Kross, I should say, who has returned to the indies following his WWE release. But he was being lined up as a potential opponent for Wardlow. This is according to Fightful Select. Apparently, this was going to be on the 4th of May episode of Dynamite, which... It was W. Morrissey, if you remember correctly. The former big cast, he came in and had a pretty competitive match. I mean, the goal of those Wardlow matches, obviously, is to make Wardlow look like the baddest man alive. So the priority wasn't making W. Morrissey look strong, but I thought he still looked pretty good in the outing. Either way, Karrion Kross. I keep calling him Karrion Kross. He hasn't used that name in like half a year.
Mate, I'm
Killer
exactly
Kross.
The same.
I am sorry, Mr. Kross.
Sorry.
He's a scary man. Yeah. I don't want to upset him. But so basically, this stemmed from the Supercard of Honor, Ring of Honor show. That was the 1st of April. On the post-show scrum, Tony Khan said that he enjoyed Killer Kross and Scarlett, their work together, and that he was open to doing something with them in the future. This led to AEW approaching Kross after that and saying, hey, let's put a plan together for the 4th of May. But the talks fell apart. Kross was told that Scarlett, who he's now married to, of course, congratulations, would not be
married on a glacier or something.
They did, yeah.
Cool.
That's random. I love it. I want to get married on a boat or something.
Iceberg.
There you go. Iceberg. Yep.
Let an iceberg lettuce. Didn't let me finish.
My wedding's going to be a wedge salad. We've gone off the rails already. It's not even Friday. Scarlett wasn't going to be part of it, right? Kross was then concerned that his intro to AEW would be a bit too much like his introduction on main roster WWE, when he'd be coming in to lose to Wardlow, obviously, and it would be a relatively one-sided match. You'd imagine, this isn't part of the report, by the way, this is just me editorialising. A bit similar to his main roster introduction when he just lost to Jeff Hardy and did a face like, I can't believe it. As opposed to the formula that was used in NXT, where, of course, he got over a bit, more effective.
Yeah.
Because like we say on this show quite often, turns out when you just win and kick people's ass, you get over. It's weird.
Shock horror.
But Fightful do note that apparently the two parties are on good terms and there's a possibility they'll do business again in the future. So it's a pretty interesting nugget here. Kross had previously, I think he'd been previously lined up for Supercard of Honor, but it didn't end up happening as well. But yeah, man, he's been doing bits and bobs here and there. He's been on New Japan Strong. He wrestled Minoru Suzuki. He's been doing indies and stuff as well. He's doing that I can't remember, but there's a promotion that Kevin Matthews runs up in Alaska, of all places. He's been there, so respect. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no great surprises. Like you say, when you've had the experience that he had on the main roster of WWE, you probably don't want to go into the other major promotion and immediately lose.
I agree with him completely on that. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But I'm excited. excited to see him return to the ring with Scarlett, hopefully by his side, because I really like that whole presentation.
Yeah, they work really well together. And obviously they have great chemistry, but it's not necessarily a given that the person that you're with in real life will have great on-screen, like Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch did not work, for example, but they've always worked well together. And like, WWE audiences were just so enamored with that presentation in NXT early on. It's very understandable that the Killer Cross and Scarlett would want to keep that.
TLDR, he didn't want any noughts and crosses in AEW. Noughts being his win column.
Yeah, TikTok.
Okay. Right, let's talk about an invasion that happened on AEW Dynamite last night. Members of New Japan's United Empire came in and interfered in that Ring of Honor tag team title match between Roppongi Vice and the champs FTR. It was Jeff Cobb and Great O'Khan who got involved. Caused the DQ, bloody DQs, but it's nice when they only do them sparingly in AEW. Presumably, this on the route to the Forbidden Door pay-per-view, which takes place next month on the 26th of June. Still no matches confirmed for that, of course. But let's not forget that United Empire recently were New Japan tag champs for a brief period. But what did you make of their involvement? And nice to see Jeff Cobb back in AEW, of course, previously used by Jericho.
That's right, he was the bounty hunter, wasn't he? Yeah, I thought this was a little bit cold, unfortunately, which is a shame because I really like the Great O'Khan and I really like Jeff Cobb. It just felt like it didn't really land. Maybe people who were in attendance can shed more light on that in the arena, but on TV it didn't really come across as like this big impactful thing, which is a shame because I think both of those guys are awesome. There was a couple of mistakes in execution as well that probably didn't help. So don't like to harp on that kind of thing because it's mostly done in bad faith, but when it harms the angle, I think it's valid to bring it up. It's a shame for me. I think like the United Empire stable, it's Will Ospreay's group. In New Japan, for anyone who's not watching the shows necessarily, it's a good stable. I think Great O'Khan's presentation is so unique in New Japan. He's a real life hero as well. Recently stopped a pretty serious assault in Japan, so he's a good guy. He's gonna. I tweeted this morning, right? You can't tweet anything on Twitter.
Nope.
These days.
Nope.
Without everyone taking it extremely literal. I went, it's a simple equation. You put Great O'Khan on your show, you get 3 million viewers. And someone went, no, you don't.
It's like, oh, you find they won't.
Yeah, actually. But yeah, like, I like these guys. I think the idea of getting them in the mix ahead of Forbidden Door is good. It's maybe not the best execution, which is a shame.
It is, yeah. It is seemingly, though, like you say, the first step on this road to Forbidden Door. And I sense maybe more stuff happening at Double Nothing on the pay-per-view at the weekend, which we will be doing a live stream for. Join us on Sunday night. And in advance of that, Andy Murray, spoiler, I'm interviewing William Regal today. So if you've got any questions for him, at Adam Wilborn on Twitter, I'll do a big tweet out later. I'm so excited to chat to him, Andy.
And Andrew Pollard.
Yes.
Is interviewing Pac.
What?
Pac doing an interview? Madness. It's going to be awesome. And Jamie Hayter as well. So two of the most interesting people in the company. That sounds like a burial of William Regal, but he's like one of the most interesting men in the entirety of wrestling. So there you go.
You know how much I love William Regal. Yeah, you came to
as soon as that email came through, I was like, there's only one man for this job.
Yes, exactly. Very excited for it. But if you want to send us any questions, you want to ask any of them, William Regal ones, you can send to me at Adam Wilborn. You can send the ones for Pac or Jamie Hayter to Andrew Pollard at Cultured Left Peg on Twitter, or just send them all to at WhatCultureWWE. You'll probably see him.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, we better blitz these last two stories, brother. Right, Nikita.
Speed round.
Nikita Lyons, she's torn her MCL and suffered a sprain as well. So she was pulled out of the breakout tournament on this week's show. And the way it was announced.
Who was she replaced by, sorry?
Today.
The
way it was announced, kind of. When they announce these things on air and have wrestlers do it, right, you go, is this legit? Is this a work or whatever? It is legit. She was on Instagram last night showing off her strapped up leg. She's got a partial tear of her MCL. No word on how long she's going to be out for. The good news is that an MCL isn't always as severe as a torn ACL.
Yeah.
So I'm not a doctor, but I can use Google, and I found out that on average, it's often like a month to 2 months, hopefully shorter. Well, that shouldn't be taken as gospel because I'm not a doctor. There you go. Nikita's going to be out. I would have thought that she'd be winning that tournament, so it kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does. I hope Roxanne Perez wins it now.
Yeah, me too.
Or Tiffany, actually. I don't really care. I think there's a story to be told with both. Yeah, it sucks. Nikita Lyons has seemingly just, you know, hit the ground running within WWE NXT. But like you say, it's bad, but it could be worse. Get well soon.
Yeah. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Right, let's talk a little bit about this relationship between AEW and Warner Bros. Discovery, because Tony Khan shed a bit more light on all this because of the merger, and people are speculating about what this means for AEW, and people saying, oh, they're not going to sign a new TV deal with them. I bet they do. Anyway, appeared on Sports Media with Richard Deitch earlier on this week, and was talking about AEW coming to the Forum in Los Angeles. He said, it means a lot to me personally to be in the Forum, to begin with, but I can't tell you what it means that a lot of the top executive from Warner Bros. Discovery are not only coming to the show, but they're throwing a great event for us afterwards in the Forum. It continued just to have their presence to begin with means so much that they would come to the show, but also a lot of the top executives in the Warner Bros. Discovery family are going to have an event with us with a lot of people in AEW, and we're going to hang out. That means the world to us and getting to know each other better. He said they've been supportive and great. AEW's current deal runs with them through 2023, although negotiations are expected to start later on this year. AEW fans basically need to be less concerned, perhaps, or less worried about what this new relationship's going
to
look like.
I think literally everyone on the planet needs to stop jumping to conclusions, whether negative or positive.
Good luck with that one.
With this stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's a big ask in this era. But yeah, we simply don't know enough information about how this is going to pan out and how these negotiations are going to unfold. There's signs in either direction that you can point to, various departing executives. AEW not necessarily getting a big focus at the upfront. Red Velvet was on a banner advertising like weekly shows, but they weren't given like a big... lots of screen time at the upfronts last week.
Pomp and ceremony.
Yeah, on the other side of the equation is the AEW Dynamite's ratings are great every week. They're in the top five pretty much all the time.
It's demos you got to look at, baby.
It's TBS's top performing show, like pretty much every single week on Wednesday nights. So they have a lot going in their favour as well. They're in a strong position to theoretically earn a big increase with these rounds of
45
of TV
milli
rights.
Annually at the moment?
Yeah, 45 milli annually, and it's very, very undervalued compared to what they do numbers-wise if you break it down. So, yeah, I mean, there's stuff flying in both directions. I think the most balanced takes on this topic are the ones to listen to. Don't listen to people who tell you it's going to get cancelled. Don't listen to people who tell you they're going to get 5 million gazillion either. Sit back, observe, wait and see how it pans out. We'll know answers by the end of the year, but this is going to be a big talking point going forward.
But not in the comment section. Let's just take this news as it is.
Okay? I'm sure that won't stop the lunatics going exactly. AEW in the mood.
Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At What Culture WWE, of course, you want to get in touch with us. First question today comes from Jake, who says, similar to how Kenny Omega turned heel mid-match and cheated to beat Moxley for the title, do you think we could get a mid-match Punk heel turn where he cheats to beat Hangman Adam Page, leading to a heel run for Punk?
Nah.
We are leaning towards Punk winning though in the office, aren't we?
Punk's winning. I think last night for me made it quite clear. I think the direction is that Hangman Page, we pinpointed it earlier in the angle when he did that little face after his first promo where he was like, oh god, I didn't mean that. I think the direction is Hangman Page is fighting with his
heart,
not his head. He's gone too deep on this aggressive stuff.
You're too emotional, man.
Character wise he's not being himself. He's going to lose the title as a result of that, and that's going to be the story, and he's going to go on another voyage of discovery of himself coming out of this, and Punk's going to win the belt. But no, I don't think Punk's going to win the turn heel. I think he'll be a bit of a dick, but he's always a bit of a dick. That's his character. Yeah. That's why we love him so much. The Shades of Grey and all that stuff. So I don't think he's going to go full heel. I think the crowd reactions last night told us that he's still extremely over.
Yeah, at worst, I think he's going to become a bit of a tweener, but it's Punk at the end of the day. And he's going to hold that title for a whole, 3 months before he drops it to the real tweener. That's Maxwell Jacob Friedman, ladies and gentlemen.
Why are you burying
the butcher like that? You were lucky, Piggy. Bro. Right, if Sean hadn't made a mistake... You wouldn't know what, and he wasn't even the real referee, Andy, right? Maxwell was the referee. He had Burberry stripes and he wore Shawn Michaels shorts. What more do you want from me?
I want you to go to the next question.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, I will do. Anytime Harry says, hey guys, with Money in the Bank pay-per-view coming soon, can't wait for that, by the way. If NXT have their own Money in the Bank match, they won't, Eddie. Which male and female will win the briefcase? Yeah, who would you like to see have an opportunity to cash in on? Hang on, let me remember this. Mandy Rose and Braun Breaker.
So, this is going to sound like a harsh criticism, right? But... there aren't many people on that show who I think are legitimately TV ready at this moment.
I think that's, it's a weird, it's gone further into developmental than it used to be, certainly.
Which is fine, it's what developmental's supposed to be, but I don't think there are many people there who I'd necessarily want to have on a massive paper. Like, these are people, work in progress, they've got like 10 matches each, you know, it's understandable.
The ladder match was fun at Stand and Deliver, but like you say, that was very limited in terms of the people that they had in it, 100%. And they had the right people in there.
100%. So, like, it's a tough question. It's a good question because it's a tough one. Like, you can't give Tiffany Stratton a briefcase and go, hey, look at this star.
She is coming on leaps and bounds, I think, in NXT 2.0, but I think it's right. I think
she
it's
is. A TV ready? Not for me. Carmelo Hayes.
Yes, my man.
I think he's one of the few, he came into the system good already.
Yes.
No, I think he's excellent. And him and Trick is such a great act. And on the woman's side, look, Io Shirai.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes.
It's kind of obvious. She's one of the best wrestlers in the world. Although I guess if they called her up, she'd get a new name like Stevie Jones or something like that.
Stevie Nicks.
The singer, let's go. But yeah, there you go. I know people would want us to pick like
Von Wagner.
Von Wagner son, Opportunity Cal. But yeah, that's it for me. Like, I'm sorry for the... NXT 2.0 is... It's understandable that these people are not great yet, but it's not exactly making for a good TV product.
Glimpses. There's some good stuff occasionally, but it usually involves... Yeah, I'll save everyone's ears today. I was going to say Cameron Grimes. He's mint, obviously, but he could probably just move up to the main roster and be
great there. That's a long commute from the moon.
So how about Tony D getting himself a motherfucking briefcase, you schmucks? Huh?
This is what I'm talking about.
Give him the briefcase.
This is what I'm talking about.
And the other one is Cora Jade, because they should put wheels on it and she can skate it. Actually, she can't skateboard, but...
Actually, Roxanne Perez is really good already. I know she's like 20 or something.
Good.
But yeah, why not?
Or Alba Fire. Kaylee Ray was really good and you did nothing with her.
And now she's Scotland Flame.
Yeah, or what if she had a briefcase that she could set on fire?
Oh, with a baseball bat.
Right, final question today comes from Sean Acklin, who says, we know that the drip will be off the charts at Double or Nothing this Sunday. How would you guys make your ring gear special on nights like that? I'm a geek, so I deck my gear in video game or anime colours, like Naruto. Is that the running one?
They were going to invade Area 51.
Yes, like Naruto's orange and black and a splash of yellow. I think I know the answer to this, Andy, but what would be on your wrestling gear?
Armour. I would wear armour.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't get hurt, basically. Like, just padded stuff. So if you punch me, it'd be metal, but like padded on my side. So if you hit me, I just get the padded, but if you punch, you break your hand.
That's what about also... obviously the flat
crocodile, yeah,
but also a bit like Angel, as he's known now in WWE, trousers, maybe trousers with Crocs on them, for example.
Okay.
A Croc that like
Crocs,
so the one
Crocs, the shoes,
wear some Crocs, rip them off, pants with the Fiend's face on it.
Ooh, and a Lacoste polo shirt because it's got a crocodile.
Do you know what I'd have as part of my gear?
So
this mic. Oh, no. No.
One of these days, we'll be in the same place. The same
bring
place,
a hammer to it.
Punk at the very same time. Is that Limp Bizkit?
Yes, yeah. It is. Should we move on to today's end finally?
Nine Inch Nails, you'll get knocked the F out.
You will indeed.
Threatening Trent Reznor there, Fred Durst.
I just want to say for today's end finally, congratulations. Congratulations to Vader Scott and Mike Bailey, WCPW legends. Maybe that's not the lead story.
We are responsible for their whole career.
Vader Scott, or as she's better known, Vader Bailey now, I suppose. They got married. She tweeted yesterday, Reader, I married him. Lovely photo of them. Having a lovely time, getting married. They're doing great stuff in right now. And they're lovely people. We've worked with them, as I said before. And just nice, Andy.
Do you know what you would get if you combined their names the other way? Michael Scott. Yeah, shout outs to them, man.
Mike, take her name, mate. I mean, there's only one option here.
Yeah, there you go. Sort it out.
Yeah, they're great.
They rule. Mike Bailey has had an incredible year returning to the Indies after his long... the visa stuff.
Yeah.
And Veda's like, she's doing loads and loads of indie commentary these days, and she's great at it. So, like, the two of them just absolutely killing it in their respective, like, their chosen fields. They're doing great stuff. Very happy for them. Seem like nice people across the board. Awesome.
Just congratulations,
nice
guys.
Stuff happening is good.
Yes.
That's my hot. Hey, guys, nice equals good. Put that on Twitter, you'll get 7,000 likes.
Nice equals good. Right, let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and the Daddy Boys sitting down to review AEW Dynamite and look ahead to Double or Nothing a little bit later on today. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts, Twitter questions and weird bollocks, because tomorrow's Friday on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for, hey, listen, tomorrow is my last Friday working here in like a month.
Ever. No, sorry.
Yeah. For like 1 month, no Fridays. So the stuff you send me tomorrow better be the worst,
top
dumbest.
Tier.
Like, no bollocks, no, like, just quite funny stuff. I want the funniest stuff. If you don't send me the funniest stuff, I will not select it.
No crap, just crock.
There you go. No whack, just crack.
All right.
Super hands over here.
No fakers, just gators. Doesn't really work, but yeah.
Yeah, there's no...
Yeah, because we're off next week because of the Queen, aren't we, basically? The Queen's going to be hosting the Friday News next week, is what we're saying there.
She's going to be hosting it with one of her corgis.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn, and make sure you send myself and Pollard loads of questions for, don't remember this, Jamie Hayter, Pack, and William Regal. We'll be chatting to them all later on today at Adam Wilborn on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, as I said. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.